I did say a short while ago that we would be studying again in John chapter 1, John's Gospel. We have read and studied in some of this chapter, the early verses, and we take it up now at verse 9 through to 13. Let's just read these few verses again this morning. John 1 at verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light of men. Just before these verses, we learn of the John who was sent by God with a message to be a witness, John the Baptist. And there we learn that he was a witness to the light, to him, as we read in verse 15, the person called the light, the person who came after him, but was greater than he. And the Gospel author has seen fit to stress in verse 8 that this John himself was not that light. We don't know, but you might well suppose that there are some people who were laying claim on John's behalf that he was the light. But John the Apostle says, he was not that light. But if that's the case, if John was not that light, who was? What was that light? And so it is that John takes us on. He was not that light, and then in verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. We go on to learn of this light, including what it is that makes him the light, the special light, the light with exceptional and unique qualities. And so just to trace through what John tells us in his Gospel account, we see that this true light gives light to every man. We see too that he was not received, but then thirdly that he gives a right to those who do believe. He gives light to every man. He was not received, but he gives a right to those who believe. So first then, to see, he gives light to every man. And here, first of all, John re-emphasizes, I think, how different this light is from every other. He says it is the true light. There are those things that make themselves out to be light, but this one was the true light. Later on, for example, Jesus would teach, we have it recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, 23. He says, if that light that is in you is darkness, there are different kinds of light. And you might say, use the idea of relative light, one is compared with the sun, for example. You take some of these lights that you have inside, they're small. When the sun shines, you can see everything out there. When this light is on alone, you can't. It is light, but it is darkness, if you like. And it reminds us that men can so easily be deceived to think that they do see, that they are in full light. And all the time, they're walking around in gloom, at some measure of darkness. As he said of the Pharisees, Jesus said, he said, they're blind leaders of the blind. They thought they could see, but in reality they were blind. as were many around them. They thought that they had better sight and better understanding of God's ways. But it was as blindness compared with this light, the true light that comes to men in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, as John introduces him or announces him later on by name. This is the true light that comes and gives light to every man. True light by which we can see things as they really are, God, ourselves, and the world around us in which we live. And so John says there is true light beside which everything else is darkness. And you can see more of that when he goes on and says it gives light. He gives light to every man. There's no other light that can do that. It is truly unique. Gives light to every man. I think it's important that we do realize this. The full light that the Bible does have in view is especially the heart of man being opened and that he finds salvation. This is the fullness of this light, and that light is not variable. It doesn't strike men, I think, in different degrees. It is, considering where it comes from, God himself is without change. He's without variableness. It's like a sunny day. It's only when you hide yourself in the shade that you're not under the brilliance of the sun. And it's the same. It doesn't vary depending on one person or another. The light is there in its fullness for all who will see it. But we might also notice that he is the source of all light. And there is a sense in which we need light and we have light in different aspects of life. I've said the full biblical sense of light is salvation from our sins. But there are other aspects to life that he brings as well. He is the source of this too. Although many are fools who will not acknowledge, who will say there is no God. They will say that they find light in other ways. But he is the source of it all, though it is not acknowledged by many. And then John goes on, and he reinforces this point that the light is to every man. He has a bit more to say about this. In verse 10, he says, he was in the world, the same world that was made through him. He is great enough to make the world, and he has come into the world. It is this great light, this truly, truly awesome light. And he comes into the world that was made through him. I'm speaking about every man. He gives light to every man. He comes into the world, not just parts of it, not just the Middle East, but he has come into the world. He also says in verse 11, he came to his own. Now some might say, well, isn't that just talking about the Jews, people of Israel? I don't think it is, because of what he goes on to say. But he says his own did not receive him. Yes, it might seem to follow through that it was the Jews. They didn't receive him, many of them. But as many as received him, there were some who did, and there were some who did also among the Gentiles, as he was opened up to them in due course. He comes to the world. He comes to every man. Whatever men might think or say, the truth is that God is God. This is the Son of God. The Word was God. The Word is the life and the light. He was God. And he's God of all men. Though many men do say there is no God. But he is God of all men. And the light that he sends is significant for all men. You could be talking to someone on the other side of the world and you could say, it's a lovely sunny day. And they would say, no, it's not. Well, that's because they're in the middle of the night. They just don't see the sun. It doesn't mean the sun is not there. The sun is here. The light, the true light is here. though men blind themselves to it, the spirit of the age, the God of the age, blinds them to it. God is the God of all men. The light has come to every man. Though they don't respond to it, or there are so many different responses. I do think that in the context in which John wrote, he was probably the last of the gospel writers, many years after Jesus died. Probably the context does suggest that this is a signal to the non-Jews as well, to the Gentiles, that light has come for them. In Luke chapter 2, we read of the baby Jesus being taken to the temple, and old Simeon takes him up and remembers the Old Testament prophecy that here is the light to the Gentiles, as well as to God's own people. And so he comes to every man. He came to his own, as a man, fellow human beings, he comes to us. He comes also to his own because he has made us. We are his own by virtue of his creative work. John flags that up as well, doesn't he? He was in the world and the world was made through him. It's his own. But also because he came in human form. He came to be one with us. From every angle you look at it, he comes to his own. Men. Every man. And so to begin with, John makes no qualification regarding who this light has come for. If there is any qualification, that comes, I think, with a very heavy blow in the second part of both verses 10 and 11. The separation between the light and men, and also between men. Two kinds of men, if you like. A division begins to appear, all because of the light. He's at the heart of it. And so we find that he was not received. First, in verse 10, the world did not know him. The very world that was made by him, the world that was his own, the world did not know him. And in verse 11, his own did not receive him. I think I've mentioned it before. Receive is a Bible word that signifies somebody taking a strong hold of what is offered to them and making it their own. It's very similar to the way that we might or could use it. Perhaps some of you will be talking about it in about 4 weeks' time when some of you give gifts. Someone receives the gift. And if you're making the gift, you only know that that person has received it, truly received it, if they do make it their own, if they treat it as their own, if they use it. The child, you little young ones, you have a toy and you use it for yourself. You make use of it and you show that it's your own. Receive it. Take a hold of it. It's given to you. But to know his own, or the world did not know him, is another Bible word along the same lines. It's not about things that you might know for tomorrow's exam, and then by Tuesday you've forgotten half of it. It's not that kind of knowledge. It's a personal knowledge. It's knowing him as a person especially, and very closely. That's the way that the Bible uses that, except in this case, it's in the negative. The world did not know him. The world kept him at arm's length. I don't want to know you. The world put the shutters down when he got too close. The world did not receive him. Take this light into its arms and say, I'm going to live by this light. That's what John is reminding us of here. When he talks about the light, remember, a little while back, he said in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, as we have it here, comprehend it. I think there it does mainly refer to the attempts by the power of darkness to overwhelm that light, to overcome it. But I think it also does say something about men having no idea just who they were dealing with. didn't understand. Therefore resisted and tried to overcome. They didn't know who they were dealing with. Men don't know who they're dealing with. In the next 4 weeks, you'll hear a great deal about Jesus in one setting or another, and Christ and Christmas. But so many people don't know just who they're talking about. Don't see the true light for what it was, who he was. Didn't recognize it, didn't take it to their hearts to either know or receive him. This true light, this glorious light that reaches to all men. I'm also reminded that he says that he will come again, and then no one will need to say, oh, he's there or there, go there and you'll find him. Everyone will know he is that light for all men. But many do not yet receive or know him. But I pick up on this point about light that could not be overcome by darkness back in verse 5. You see what darkness is trying to do? Darkness is resisting the light. Darkness is at work to try and stop the light from penetrating. You think about going out in the bright sunshine. There is a little just for the moment. And what do? Out of darkness, you cover your eyes. You do something. You use the sunglasses or a cap or whatever it might be. If you are driving for a long time on a dark night and there are headlights coming at you for a long time, your eyes get tired. And so it goes on. There is effort required in the darkness when the light comes, if you want to shut it out. And it is so much more so in spiritual application. If you cannot see this light for what it is, you're doing something to stop it. There is some personal activity being engaged in. Yes, Paul says that it's the God of the age that veils their eyes and blinds them. But there's personal involvement in that as well. I think that gives us much of the foundation for what Jesus taught Nicodemus about the reason for man's condemnation just a couple of chapters later in John chapter 3, where we know John chapter 3 verse 16. Let us know as well, John chapter 3 and verse 19, where he says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Love, it's about devotion, it's about commitment in the Bible. Men loved darkness rather than light. That's what they were committed to, involved with, and wanted to shut out the light. And that brings that condemnation. It leaves them in the state where they were, without light, without hope. I do find it a terribly sad thing, just the way that John puts it here. He came to his own. Came to his own. And his own didn't receive him. What do any of us have that has not been given to us? What are we that has not been given to us? He has made the world. To whom else do we ever belong? We are his own, every one of us. Add to that the question, to whom did he come wishing to identify himself? With men. He came to his own. And how does the prophet put it? He was despised and rejected of men. Turned away. Unwanted. His own did not receive him. Didn't recognize him. Didn't want him. He belongs with us. Our Maker. Our Redeemer. In human form. He came among us. He belongs here. And then pushed him away. Right through to the cross. There are different examples we could think of. I'm reminded of a story where there was an art exhibition. It can be a delicate field, if you like. But there was one main artist exhibiting on this occasion. And so the gallery opened and the visitors came in and they as they do, as you do, perhaps you go around the gallery and you look and you talk together about the qualities and what might be the meaning in this piece of work, painting, a sculpture, whatever it is. And so there was one who realized there was somebody standing beside him, and he was looking at this painting, and he started talking in flowery language and describing what this painting was all about, and being a bit critical at times as well, and for the man next to him to say, "Well, I'm the artist." Thought that he knew all about it. But there was the one who did know about it. He was unrecognized and unheeded. Well, all the more so. Here is the great artist who has made this world. The world did not know him. Came to his own, the world, his own did not receive him. When you consider what he brought with him to give to his own, to give to those who would receive him, it's even more astounding that men have rejected him and still do. Because he gives a right to those who do believe or receive, as many as received him. Amongst all of these, there were many, by and large it seems, who did not receive him, but there were some who did. And to them, in verse 12, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In contrast to that rejection, but there were some who received, and he gave light to them. He was that light, and they opened their eyes to that light. And there were many that we read of the days of Jesus who were downtrodden, and they themselves were despised, they were ignored. Society just had no place for them, time for them. Mark tells us in chapter 12, he says, they heard him gladly. They knew there was light. There was something that rejoiced their heart, gave them gladness. The light itself, himself, was a great change for them from what they knew. Do you know it yourself? Do you know that great hope that this light brings? But to take it further, the great thing I think about this as well is that there are those who've known the blessing of the light. They knew that joy and gladness. We do. Do you? And if you do, isn't that wonderful enough? Quite enough. To find at last a clear and a true light on life's path. So you have that. You receive him. You receive light. It's a wonderful thing. But what do you find? You receive him and you get something else. This light, God at work through this light, has something more in store. It's as though at home, your mum asks you to do a favor for her. And because she's your mum, you do it happily. It's once you've done it just because she's your mum, you're responding in love for the love that she shows you in so many ways, you've done it. That's great, that's enough. I've helped mum, I've done a favor for mum, it will please her, and I'm pleased. Then you find that she says, "Thank you for doing that. Here's something for you." It should be enough to do what you've done. Jesus says that, or Paul says that later on, that we've done enough. In responding in love for the love that he has first shown us. But what does he do? He piles more and more on. He gives, and he gives, and he gives again. Along with what we might call simple salvation comes something far beyond what we have any right to hope for. Saved out of our sin, what does the so-called prodigal son say to his loving father? He says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just accept me as a servant. Wouldn't you say that to this light who has come amongst us? But the Father says, no, you are still my son. You are my son. I give you the right to become children of God. No, we can't completely divide it, but there is something additional here, something that is grace upon grace piling on to us. It is not just a right that we might take or leave. It's would be giving in to the mind of the world, but this is one that is fully applied. He gives it with that believing in his name. To become a child is not a take it or leave it kind of thing. And so John then goes on to explain just a little more about this new life, what this childhood means. And again, I think he is setting the scene for things that are dealt with on a number of occasions later on, especially, for example, when Jesus spoke with Nicodemus. He says this new birth, to become a child of God, it's a new birth. Different kind of birth, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Simple negatives. It's just not that. Not what you're so familiar with. But it's of God. We don't know other kinds of birth, except by the understanding that the Spirit gives. This is not a natural birth or sonship that the light is bringing about here. It's this birth of the Spirit. Birth meaning a new life, a new creation. And just so as in that first creation of the natural world, the world was made through him. So it is in this case, this new creation, this new birth is of God, because the light is of God. The light brings its own illumination in its great power. That light enables men to receive and to believe. And so in that believing, in that receiving, you gain sonship to become children of God. And that is an immense privilege. If you can get hold of Knowing God by J.I. Packer, he has an excellent chapter, one of the very best pieces of Christian writing I've ever come across on this theme of adoption, biblical theme of adoption. Great glory and sonship of God's people with our God. Tremendous, tremendous blessing. Well, I need to close. Here we have been looking at the witness borne by two Johns. They bear witness to the coming of God's light among men and for men. Why do they do this? What's the purpose of it all? It's a great purpose, so great that that is the whole point of John's Gospel. We may well say the point of the entire Scriptures. Don't ever think of this as tedious or merely repetitive.